Welcome to day 209 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are going to be reading 2 Kings chapter 19, and this will recount the story of King Hezekiah being threatened by the Assyrians and how God beautifully delivered them by his grace. And we heard another retelling of that same story when we're reading Isaiah chapter 37. We will also read Psalm 46, God being a present help in time of trouble, always a very comforting and beautiful psalm. Also Psalm 80 and Psalm 135. And today we are reading from the Amplified Bible. So beginning at 2 Kings chapter 19 and starting at verse 1. When King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over his household, and Shebna the scribe, and the older priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. They said to him, "Hezekiah says, 'This is a day of extreme danger and distress, of rebuke and chastisement and blasphemous and insolent insult, for children have come to birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh whom the king of Assyria has sent to mock, reproach, insult, and defy the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. So raise your prayer for the remnant of his people that is left.' So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them, 'Say to your master, Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled and blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own country.' So the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, a fortified city of Judah, for he had heard that the king had left Lachish. And Sennacherib, king of Assyria, heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, 'He has come to make war against you.' And when he heard it, he sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, 'Say this to Hezekiah, king of Judah, let not your God on whom you rely deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my ancestors have destroyed, as Gozan, Haran of Mesopotamia, Raziph, and the people of Eden who are in Tel Assar? Where are the kings of Hamath, of Arpad, of northern Syria, of the city of Sepharvaim, of Henna and Iva?' Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed, 'O Lord, the God of Israel, who in symbol is enthroned above the cherubim of the ark in the temple, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Lord, open your eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock, reproach, insult, and defy the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast the gods of those peoples into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, so they could destroy and have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech you, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know and understand that you, O Lord, are God alone.' Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent Hezekiah, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Your prayer to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin daughter of Zion has despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has wagged her head behind you. Whom have you mocked and reviled and insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have mocked, reproached, insulted, and defied the Lord, and have said, "With my many chariots I have gone up to the heights of the mountains, to the far recesses of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedar trees and its choicest cypress trees. I entered its most distant retreat, its densest forest. I dug wells and I drank foreign waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the defense and the streams of Egypt. But, says the God of Israel, have you not heard how I ordained long ago what now I have brought to pass? I planned it in olden times, that you, king of Assyria, should be my instrument to lay waste fortified cities, making them ruinous heaps. That is why their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were like plants of the field, the green herb, the grass on the housetops, blasted before it is grown up. But, O Sennacherib, I, the Lord, know you're sitting down, you're going out, you're coming in, and you're raging against me. Because you're raging against me, and your arrogance and careless ease have come to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way you came, O king of Assyria. And Hezekiah, says the Lord, this shall be the sign of these things to you. You shall eat this year what grows of itself, also in the second year what springs up voluntarily, but in the third year sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the remnant that has survived of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant and a band of survivors out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come up into this city, or shoot an arrow here, or come against it with shield, or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by that way shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it all came to pass, for that night the angel of the Lord went forth and slew 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the living arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adrammelech and Sherezer, his sons, killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Armenia, or Ararat. Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Psalm 46. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to treble voices, a song. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early at the dawn of the morning. The nations raged, the kingdoms tottered and were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our fortress and high tower. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow in pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Let be and be still, and know, recognize, and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our high tower and stronghold. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. Psalm 80. To the chief musician, set to the tune of lilies, a testimony, a psalm of Asaph. Verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned upon the cherubim, the ark of the covenant, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us again, O God, and cause your face to shine in pleasure and approval on us, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and you have given them tears to drink in large measure. You make us a strife and scorn to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us again, O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine upon us with favor as of old, and we shall be saved. You brought a vine, Israel, out of Egypt. You drove out the heathen nations and planted it in Canaan. You prepared room before it, and it took deep root and it filled the land. The mountains were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs of it were like the great cedars, cedars of God. Israel sent out its boughs to the Mediterranean Sea and its branches to the Euphrates River. Why have you broken down its hedges and walls so that all who pass by pluck from its fruits? The boar out of the wood wastes it, and the wild beast of the field feeds on it. Turn again, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, visit, and have regard for this vine. Protect and maintain the stock which your right hand planted, and the branch, the son, that you have reared and made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. It is cut down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we will not depart from you. Revive us, give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine in pleasure, approval, and favor on us, and we shall be saved. Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for he is gracious and lovely. For the Lord has chosen, the descendants of Jacob for himself, Israel for his peculiar possession and treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, that he has done in the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all deeps, who causes the vapors to arise from the ends of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings the wind out of his storehouses, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants, who smote nations many and great and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. The Lord gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will judge and vindicate his people, and he will delay his judgments, manifesting his righteousness and mercy, and take into favor his servants, those who meet his terms of separation unto him. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Idols have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make idols are like them. So is everyone who trusts in and relies on them. Bless, affectionately, and gratefully praise the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron, God's ministers. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi, the dedicated tribe. You who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, bless the Lord, affectionately and gratefully praise him. Blessed out of Zion be the Lord, who dwells with us at Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the end of today's scripture reading. For today's devotional, I want to focus on one verse that we heard in 2 Kings chapter 19, and that is verse 30. And here is that simple verse. It says, "And the remnant that has survived of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." Now, this may sound a bit cryptic, but actually, it's a very simple verse. First of all, it says, the remnant that has survived of the house of Judah. We'll take that first. During the time of 2 Kings 19, both Israel and Judah had been attacked by foreign armies. They had dragged many of the people of those lands back to the country the invading army came from, whether it was Babylon or, in the case of Judah, Assyria, and leaving only a very small remnant still living in the land of Israel that had not been taken into bondage to a foreign nation. So this first part of the verse specifically talks about a remnant, people left behind, the people that were left that were survivors, that had survived from the house of Judah. So we're talking about a small amount of people still left in the land of Judah. And this verse promises that those people, that remnant, will take root downward and bear fruit upward. The idea of taking root downward speaks of stability and a steadiness and a fact that they will not be moved and that they will have a fruitfulness about their life, even though the whole nation literally had been attacked by the enemy and so many had gone into bondage. But let me just make a few comments about this idea of a remnant. God always has a remnant, meaning people who have stayed faithful to God even when everyone around them has gone into bondage to sin, has given themselves over to the lusts of the world and the lusts of the flesh. God always has a remnant of people. Are you part of that remnant? People who have not allowed themselves to become stained and contaminated by the world system that has poured out uncleanness throughout the earth, through the media, through movies and television, that has captured so many people into bondage of all different kinds, into pornography and all sorts of lewdness. And yet, many of these people are church attenders. Yet they are not the remnant of God because they haven't clung to the Lord and to His ways. They have allowed themselves to be both influenced by the world and by the enemy of their soul, Satan himself, and many have been carried off into full-on bondage of sin and are in no position to in any way serve the Lord or help anyone else because they're in bondage. And yet there's still a remnant, a people who love God, a people who pray, a people who seek God's word, who seek His face, who desire His presence, who want to be with Him, who long to hear His voice. It's the remnant of God. And this beautiful verse tells us that the remnant of the Lord, even after much attack from the enemy on every side, shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. And it speaks of a stability in God in the midst of an entire nation being carried off or an entire nation being decimated by the enemy. And I would say spiritually, our country has gone through a lot of attack from the enemy and decimation of its spiritual foundations. Despite what people who are trying to rewrite history have to say, the truth of the matter is that the United States was founded by people who were seeking to worship God freely. And so the roots or the foundations of this nation were in worship of the Lord, true worship of God, without any politics involved, without any government trying to say how it should be done, but just people who purely desired to love, serve, honor, and worship the Lord. That's the foundations of the United States and being established. But as 200 years has passed since the founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, we have seen a steady erosion of the biblical principles which were used in the establishment of the United States of America. And now we could say there's a remnant of people who still hold dearly to the principles for which our country was founded and the spiritual desire that had moved people in England to come to the United States in the pursuit of religious freedom. There is still a remnant whose heart's desire is to honor, worship, love, and serve the Lord. So there is a remnant. But this scripture goes on to say that those people will take root downward despite what's happening around them, and they will bear fruit upward. And that's an encouraging word, because if you are among that remnant, which I believe you are, you wouldn't even be listening to my everyday Bible. God will cause you to have a deepness in Him, and He will enable you, empower you, and flow through you so you can bear fruit upward in your life. Jesus very beautifully spoke about fruit bearing in the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter. And this beautiful vine and branch gospel chapter is so fascinating and so insightful for us, because Jesus said about Himself, "I'm the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser, Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it can bear more fruit. And then he goes on to say, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. So Jesus was giving a very profound clue as to how people could become fruitful. There was only one way, he said, if we abide in him. And I believe that you desire to be a fruitful branch. I believe you desire to be that remnant spoken of here in 2 Kings 19 that takes root downward and bears fruit upward. But the Lord continued in John 15 telling us some important things about fruit bearing. Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is a beautiful statement, but it's profound. First of all, God's glorified when you bear much fruit. Your life bearing fruit proves that you're Jesus' disciple and glorifies your Heavenly Father. Well, what exactly is that fruit that's mentioned both here in 2 Kings 19 and here in John chapter 15? Well, we have to go to Galatians 5 to get a very clear listing of the fruit that's being spoken of. John 5:22 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's the fruit. The Father is glorified, and people know you are a disciple of Jesus when your life bears the fruit of love. Can this be said about you, that everywhere you go and every interaction that you have, that people would turn and say, wow, that is one of the most loving people I've ever met? That should be said about every true follower of Christ. If we're imitators of God as dear children, as Ephesians 5:1 tells us to be, walk in love, it says in verse 2 of Ephesians 5. That's the fruit of the Spirit, love, that everywhere you go, everyone you meet, everything you say, every attitude you demonstrate, every interaction you have with a stranger or with a friend, with someone you know or someone you've never seen in your life, that the love of God is flowing from you. You could say you're passing out love fruit everywhere you go, because the branch, which is you, which is connected to the vine, which is Jesus, is continuously producing love, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit, and handing it out to everyone you meet. And then it goes on to say joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's really amazing to me when I find a Christian who claims to be a Christian, or a person claiming to be a Christian, who has no joy. I think they don't have an intimate connection with the vine. They're not in intimate contact. They're not abiding in the vine, because there is no way to abide in the vine of Jesus and not have joy flowing out of your life. If you're connected to Jesus, you cannot help but bear the fruit of joy. If there's a disconnect happening, if you're separated from God, then depression and oppression and joylessness will certainly accompany you. The third fruit is peace. Are you able to walk in peace in the midst of a storm? Can you sleep during the storm like Jesus did when he was in the boat with his disciples? That's peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these fruit of the Spirit are what proves that we are disciples of Jesus and this glorifies the Father. There is no doubt when someone who does not know God comes into contact with someone who really knows God, who walks with God every day, who talks with God every day, who intimately converses and fellowships with God every single day, it should be an amazing experience for such a person who doesn't know God to meet a person that like the one I just described. It should have a very intense impact upon them, because they would not find this kind of love, this kind of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control in the world. It will not happen. But when an unbeliever meets a real believer who's full of the fruit of the Spirit, because that person's so connected to the vine that they are bearing fruit upward all the time, then this is something that would be very transformational to make the acquaintance of someone who knows God at that level. Think about the people you know in your life who really walk with God. Can you say about them, they are the most loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled people you know? It should be the case. If you're struggling with any of those areas, having a hard time loving certain people, struggling to have joy in your life every day, really struggling with anxiety, not having peace in the midst of the storm that you might be walking through, or any of those fruit that we just talked about, then it's time to press in to the vine. Jesus is that vine. You are the branch. And you know the beautiful thing about being the branch? You don't produce the fruit yourself. It's impossible. The branch cannot produce fruit. The sap that flows through the vine into the branch is what enables a branch to have fruit grow from its very being. But the branch had nothing to do with it other than showing up. And so it is with us. It's so beautiful. We don't have to produce the fruit that I just described. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit. We just have to stay connected to the vine so that we can indeed bear fruit upward, as we heard here in 2 Kings 19. I want to encourage you. Allow yourself to take root downward, to get more connected, deeply connected with the Lord, to stay so tightly connected to that vine day and night that fruit will flow so easily and so freely and without any human effort involved. God is the one that brings forth the fruit. Just stay connected to the beautiful vine, which is our Lord Jesus. God bless you and give you a fruitful week.